You may be seated if you can, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let's turn to the living word. We've been dealing with a great subject. I'm going to give a slight review and jump into message number 3, entitled Dancing Through Life with Our New Creation God. Too many people are stumbling through life, miserably being led through life. Their lives are not happy, and to suggest it might even be a dance is actually almost offensive to some people. They have accepted that life will be nothing other than getting up in the morning, cleaning up, going to work, coming home, and doing it for the rest of your life. And that's what life is. Looking forward to retirement. I shall never retire, by the way. That's not going to happen. I shall retire when I grow up. Before then, I will keep on by the grace of God. The sad part is that even in Christian circles, in churches, Christianity has become miserable. It's become lists of do's and don'ts. It's just almost in so many places as though we're all watching for one thing we can get on you to throw you out because we have no power to help you.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. But I want to tell you a story, a true story. The story of a God, a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whose great identifying mark is love. Love on a level you and I can't grasp or comprehend. It's bigger than our minds. It takes a revelation. It's so big. And what makes three persons one God is equal love. The covenant that exists between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a covenant of love. The Father loved the Son. The beloved Son loved the Father. They love the Holy Spirit, and He loves them with an incredible divine love that was manifest in Calvary love. Now, I'll tell you what will really change your Christian experience is when you read from the Gospel of John, and I'm still not sure it can be true, it's so magnificent. Have you ever met a verse like that? I said, God, are you sure you wrote this thing? Looks like something I'd like you to write. Yeah. Jesus said, don't you know that my Father loves you as much as He loves me? See, I think that's like blasphemy. How could God the Father love you and me the same way? Exactly the same amount. He loves His Son. When I read that for the first time, and I'm not turning there, but that will be a scriptural tangent, and I'm not going on it. God loves you as much as He loves Jesus. The fact that the scriptures call Him our brother made a whole lot of sense after that. He wasn't just being nice. You know, sometimes we hear these things and say, well, He must have been kind. No, He was being very theologically accurate. Excuse me. There are many sons. Now, they don't say daughters because it wasn't the fashion. But if they wrote the Bible today, they'd say sons and daughters. So don't, ladies, please don't feel left out there. They're sons and daughters or sisters. He is our elder brother, the Almighty God. And we're to dance through life with the understanding that He has so many marvelous names. And one of my favorite is the promise. Remember about 15 years ago, I wrote a huge thing on the promise. He is the promise. He was the promise hoped for from the beginning. The one who would come, the chosen one. Who had put to rights a world gone mad. And set up an eternal kingdom on this earth, procured with His blood. And the Jews expected it. Now, by the time He came, they expected many things from Him, some of which were part truth, half truth, and no truth. Either way, He came. We call it the mystery of Christ. What was the mystery? Well, He did show up, so that's not much of a mystery there. What was the mystery? The mystery was that He didn't come the way they expected Him to come. That was the mystery. Yeah. The mystery was that there would be a new covenant, a new testament that would interpret the Old Testament and give it the meaning it was intended all along, with glimpses, as Jesus put Himself in the Psalms and the prophets and the law. Well, if you didn't know the story from the end, tell you from the beginning, the scriptures say even angels couldn't figure it. So it was a mystery. What couldn't they figure? How in the world is He going to pull this thing off? How is He going to pull this thing off? And therefore you have all the stages humanity went through. until the time of Christ. And the big thing he pulled off was rising from the dead triumphantly. Now, not because that was the victory. The Bible says the grave couldn't hold them. Jesus said, I lay my life down, I could take it up. That wasn't the victory. Now, we get excited about resurrection because we don't like dying. So if we wrote the theology books, we'd say, yes, thank God there's life after death. Honey, that is not what the resurrection's about, although that'll give you life after death. The resurrection was to manifest something else, spoken of only a couple of times in literal fact in the New Testament, the birthing of a new creation of which Jesus Christ would be the prototype. Prototos, the exact word used.